Hello there, and welcome into Better Advertising with Better Media, a podcast for brand founders and marketers to share strategies and stories that help brands grow in this marketplace world we live in today, the world of Amazon and Walmart retail. My name is Justin Knuckles, and I'm your host here on the show, and I also work with various clients here at Better Media as an account director. Today's topic, as is the topic of 2024, is artificial intelligence. Joining us today is a returning guest and my friend here at Better Media, Adam Malott, and also, actually our first time meeting, Brent West. These guys were out in Las Vegas several weeks back at the annual Prosper Conference, one of the largest industry events for Amazon brands and sellers. They took part in an AI hackathon I've seen all over LinkedIn, and we'll dive into that event and more. So let's go ahead and welcome on in Adam and Brent. How are you guys doing this week?
I am good, guys. Great to be here. Great to connect, and really, really excited to have this conversation. I know it's a long time coming with AI, you know, continuing to ingrain into our everyday lives, and I'm sure professional positions. I know predominantly in advertising and e-commerce, retail media, there is a lot of attention on the AI subject. So excited to dive in. Brent, how are you?
Fantastic. Thanks, gentlemen, for having me on. As Adam so eloquently put, definitely the topic of artificial intelligence, AI, is at the forefront right now and sort of distracting everyone from the things it really can do. So it's interesting to, you know, have an opportunity to sit down with you two and chop it up today.
Yeah, excited to dig into to everything again that I saw on LinkedIn. I saw a lot of people talking about the AI subject that that we'll dive into. But wanted to start with, you know, a little bit on who you are, Brent, your experience in the industry. So I see here on LinkedIn your titles as fractional CMO, keynote speaker, executive coach. In other words, you're the guy with great ideas who knows how to get things done. So what are you up to currently, and where did you start in the industry?
That's a really kick-ass introduction, Adam. I don't even have to do anything. Like, you just said it all. Yeah, those are the things I do. No, that's fantastic. You nailed it. I am a fractional CMO. I also have the very good fortune of speaking around the globe on different topics. And recently just finished certifications through the University of Toronto at Rotman School of Business to be an executive coach. And I'm actively also doing that. So I keep myself very busy that way. And all of that grew out of a background of being a partner in an digital advertising agency for a lot of years here in Toronto. And then we also, just for the listeners, I pronounced Toronto completely incorrectly for someone who lives in downtown Toronto. We just get rid of the last T. But I thought I'd be a polite Canadian and do it a little bit of justice today on the podcast. For a lot of years, I had that agency. And in a turn of events, as technology evolved and different business models changed, we turned the agency into a software incubator where we took our marketing acumen and we moved it into SaaS-based software. And by the time we were acquired for it, we were very lucky. That whole enterprise and as well as what was left of the agency was all acquired. We exited and had three really nice products in market at the time of exit. So from there, I've been working behind the scenes with different tech companies, different startups in various ways. Fractional CMO work, while it's chief marketing officer and there's a drive to overlook strategy, you know, sometimes fractional CMO work, as I've experienced it too, is just helping some companies get better linear process in place, helping them just sort of being that outside entity to be an agnostic voice in the room to sort of help push change and build things. And if I am behind the scenes doing more creative strategy, that still keeps me fulfilled as long as I'm allowed to push my boundaries as I'm want to do and I like to do. I think marketing is something that can be so much fun if we're allowed to really truly create. So I hope that answered the question. It might not have.
Yeah, no, I think that was a pretty good look at your resume there. It seems like you have a pretty, I don't want to say high level, but you see a lot. You have a pretty, you know, high elevation look at the industry as a whole. You see, you know, various different kinds of brands and companies and digital marketing problems. Is that fair to say? Like, you have a pretty expansive view of what's going on today in digital marketing.
Yes and no. I see it in a couple of verticals. I've been I've been really busy in automotive for a long, long time. It's just been a place where connections were made and tech was growing very rapidly. So you get really entrenched in that industry fast. So I've seen it there. But yes, from the previous life of you know, being an agency partner and in everything from group account director to strategist, you get to see on tier one global brands. Yeah, you can. You always have that sort of eye at what is happening, even though you may not be directly working in it, if that makes sense. I do have the good fortune of getting to have the time now as a fractional executive myself. I get more of time now, though, to just go explore. Maybe that's more of it instead of just having that view and reading the right articles. It's something that Adam and I will probably talk about on this podcast, but it's just the ability to connect and collaborate with different people that you may not have in order to share information and hacks and builds and things you're sculpting in your own brains. I think that's what I'm doing now actually gives me more of that. What's the word I'm looking for? Just the privilege of time to do that.
Yeah. I think that's a great segue into, you know, how you connected with us and Adam here, which I want to throw it over to you guys. Where exactly did you meet? Was it Prosper? What did that look like?
Yeah. So, we were connected, a mutual friend, Emery Robbins here at, Better Media. She had introduced me to Brenton, mentioned that, he may need some assistance, in helping, organize and put on the AI hackathon event at Prosper, which was in the keynote hall on the first day. And, myself, you know, using AI very high level in advertising and brand management. I generally thought, hey, this could be a great learning opportunity, great network opportunity, and there's definitely sort of an interest alignment, right? In terms of what we're doing on the retail media side and what capabilities AI continues to come out with and evolve. So I took the opportunity and helped put on that event with Brent. It was a really, really good educational experience in my mind.
Hell yeah. Let's talk a little bit about that event. What did you guys put together? Walk all us listeners through who didn't get to attend. What were we missing out on?
Well, maybe I shouldn't tell anybody anything, and then you'll show up next time, and we'll just keep it super top secret. Right?
Oh,
there
sorry.
You go. We double gated your content. What I did for the show and how Adam and I came to meet was through a workshop, a project of mine called the Ultimate AI Hackathon, and it's. An event that the people at Emerald, the convention company, the conference company that puts on Prosper and something like 150 other shows a year. I've been involved with Emerald on a couple of other shows outside of your industry. And in the fall, I had this idea and beg my pardon, everybody. I'll back up and set it up a little bit better. But it is called the Ultimate AI Hackathon. It grew out of a mandate that I had for myself and for shows that I was working with and different boards I was on with some of these shows as a speaker and looking at different people who were coming up to educate. My entire runway as a conference speaker, as a keynote speaker, I've always tried to push a boundary of how far can I push the interactivity in a session and how educational can I make it rather than just informational? And I think there's a vast difference between the two. And what we all see at these conferences, usually with the speakers that are doing sessions and the keynotes, are very it's educational. Well, it's business pitches thinly veiled as educational opportunities. And I get it for the companies that have to go and buy the booths and do the work. There is an ROI that has to be retained from spending the money they spend on the show and getting the teams they need to get to the shows. However, I was always pushing myself to drastically change that model. And what I was finding, and when I was helping other clients and other friends kind of pick up on what I was throwing down with their own sessions and their own work, was that they were seeing much more ROI from the attendees who were there for whatever purpose they were there at the show. And then moving forward, I started to really evolve that sort of style of presenting and facilitating. And in the fall, at a board meeting, I opened my big mouth and I said, you know what, we should do one of these shows, because the flood of AI sessions was just like the amount of speakers that had submitted things for in-depth AI workshops. A lot of these workshops were being submitted and being spoken on by people who sometimes you know the companies, you know the people that had no business talking about the technology. And the show's board who did speaker selection, we were at this impasse of going like, this is really tough because we don't want to bring in this hot topic and cheat the audience with underthought non-SME content. And I said, you know, what we should do is do a hackathon. And the group asked me what that was. And when I had my agency, I had in-house development every year we were in business. We always had all our developers in house, and our developers loved going and entering these hackathons. They would go away for weekends and they would go build and program and write. And then they would present all their work at the end of the weekend, and there would be like big prize money. And so some of my team, you know, we would pay their entries and all this stuff, because it was always to our benefit as they learned at these hackathons. They would bring that learning back to the agency. And so I said, we should do a hackathon. And I explained the concept. And then they, of course, said, Brent, will you do it? And I said, yeah, I will. And then I kind of freaked out for a couple of weeks, again, because I always get, as Adam knows from our conversations, I get really tense about these things, because the idea is cool and it has the propensity of either being fantastic or a big hot turd. So in that balance of it, I put together what would be 2 days of hackathon work. And I tried to squeeze it into 90 minutes. And the premise of the hackathon is just this. It's 90 minutes where teams of people led by table captains — Adam was one of my table captains, and we'll get to that — led by table captains have to build out a series of hacks that, you know, usually is in line with one central ask, but they have a laundry list of things to build, write, produce, only using AI tools. And they're given a set amount of time to build, and then they're given a set amount of time to present. And so one of the interesting things about building this hackathon out was, as we started to figure out how we were going to run it and how we're going to present things, it actually made myself in the first round of table captains go out and sort of look at different products that none of us knew of, in order to help streamline even more of the workshop itself. So, and the hackathon, in the spirit of it, is it's not about having someone just stand up on stage and tell you the nuance of prompting. There's little bits of information that are sprinkled into the audience the whole time. But it's about people getting around a table as a team and just in a collaborative effort to learn and build something. Because in most cases, the audience, in for all the times in the last 6 months I've sat in front of a school or at a show talking about this, most people will still self-admit that they're pretty green to the whole thing. Even if they're using it a little bit, they don't feel like they're kind of a medium level user even now. So it's really nice to just get people around a table with, you know, a nice blend of, there's a couple of super users, a couple of mid-tier, and then a whole bunch of green people that just want to learn more about it. But by giving a table a round of exercises to do, every single person at the table during the 90 minutes is learning something intrinsically important to how they're going to do their jobs, maybe what they're going to bring back, but also as a whole, what they're seeing from how we, plot, produce, and present, the way the team is working together through the 90 minutes, they've also learned strategic process alignment. Without realizing, whether like they were so busy building AI things and getting the presentations ready, but they were doing the classic, like, here's your brief, let's brainstorm it, let's delegate our production schedule, and then let's go build it. But they're doing that with an entirely different group of people. And that's sometimes what we found at Prosper was like the big aha moment. So there's some things about the hackathon that are kind of as I said, it very much is a passion project, because it's combining just some really cool things that I want to see more of at the conferences, no matter what the vertical or the industry is. It's just, you know, get people around the table, let them learn something in real time with their peers instead of just orating at them. Did I use that word right?
I think so.
I think so. If we didn't, we'll edit it out. You know, instead of me just talking at someone about how wonderful all this is, it's like, let's just open up the cans of Play-Doh and squish things around and see what we can build. And it so far in the two really big ones we've done for these Emerald shows, at their digital dealer show in the fall and at Prosper this recent March, I think Adam can attest, like, I think we were blown away by just how many people showed up at Prosper to do it. We thought if we're lucky, we're going to get 8 people at each table, maybe 50 people in the room, and they put us in the keynote hall. But we had hundreds of people from all around the world, and teams, we were making teams on the fly. And I think Adam had like 2 circles of like layers of team around him at one point before we started diversifying teams. And to date, it's always the takeaways have been the participants have really geeked out on it and really had a good time and learned a lot. And then, you know, the other side of it was just they were also introduced to a whole bunch of other tools that they may not have known of in the first place. And then now they actually get a new collaborative unit of friends that they can keep sharing this, like how they're using it and how they're doing it. So again, I'll throw it to Adam, but that is in essence the big picture behind the event.
Yeah, you know, as a point of comparison or relative comparison, I think, you know, engagement, right, and direct involvement in some sort of activity when it comes to trade shows or conferences or speaking events or what have you, you know, generally is not the norm. But anytime I have participated in some sort of event like this where, you know, you draw the crowd in, right, and you're educating them and teaching them something on some sort of subject, but allowing them to get their feet wet, you know, within that specific facet or vertical, I think is huge. And I think that was a big differentiator, you know, prior to our official kickoff of the hackathon, right? I remember you had announced, all right, who wants to participate? And everyone kind of looked around and, you know, we kind of nudged them on, right? And then everybody formed tables and then more people came in and more people came in. And, you know, as you had mentioned, we had people from all over the world across different industries, you know, different skill sets, et cetera, all collaborating and combining on one subject or one ask, right, that we had to pump out in less than an hour. But what was really cool, you know, myself, I work in the advertising space, right? Predominantly Amazon, Walmart, Shopify, Instacart, et cetera. A lot of what we use AI for are things like, Excel formula creations or keyword research, or hey, take the aspects of this listing, title, bullet points, and imagery, and give me, you know, top 50 category keywords to target in this awareness campaign or what have you, right? So very siloed or very focused. And what I come to find out, you know, is there are a lot of similarities in how we use AI across different industries. Whether it be tools, you know, such as Gamma or ChatGPT or what have you, that had different capabilities, right? So all within 53 minutes, it was a massive educational experience in that prompting matters, tools matter, your intent with the task at hand matters, the organization of words when you're prompting matters, right? So it was sort of a trial and error for you know, 3/4 of the time until we kind of blinked and looked down and realized we had everything already done, you know, just different ways across the table. So I thought that was a really cool educational experience in terms of, hey, there's different ways to craft the same solution, if you will, using AI tools.
Thank you all for listening in on this part one episode of our conversation with Brent West and Adam Malott, as we got to hear about the AI hackathon in one of Prosper's favorite sessions. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll dive into how these AI tools help to do the impossible within 1 hour and build an Amazon product and launch plan, and how these guys recommend integrating AI into your routines. If you found this episode helpful or valuable, please share with a friend you think could benefit from a listen. Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to not miss future episodes. We'll see you next time for part 2. Cheers.